Jeremiah's life and teachings had a profound impact on the development of both Judaism and Christianity. In the New Testament, we read that both Jesus and Paul not only embraced key themes from Jeremiah, but gave them central place in their preaching and teaching. Indeed, the whole idea of a New Testament, a new covenant, is based almost exclusively on Jeremiah. And so for this reason and many others, Jeremiah is often regarded as the greatest of the Hebrew prophets. Let us pray. Holy God, you knew us before we knew ourselves. You consecrate us now to be your servants. Create in us hearts worthy to be your messengers, that we might go where you send us and speak the word that you give us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, place your words upon our lips and your grace upon our hearts, so that we might pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow, build and plant, as you alone have commanded. Amen. The late Ann Landers, syndicated advice columnist, used to receive over 10,000 letters a month. And she was asked if there was one problem that stood out among all the problems people asked her to help them with. And she said yes. Fear. Fear is the most frequently cited problem. Fear is not a new problem. Jeremiah the prophet struggled with fear. He was born into a fearful age near the end of the reign of the monstrously wicked King Manasseh. Later, as a teenager, Jeremiah had to come to grips with his own fears when God appointed him to be a prophet. Jeremiah's call to be a prophet is found in the opening chapter of the book that bears his name, which we heard Pat read from earlier. Now, this call includes three images: a child in a womb, an almond tree, and a boiling pot. Each image expresses both Jeremiah's fears and God's encouragement. They also serve as reminders how, through God's help, we can overcome our fears. Fear says, I can't do this. God says, I am with you. The first image is that of a child in the womb, surely the epitome of helplessness. When God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah replied, in effect, oh, I can't do that. No. I'm only a child. And the word he uses is used elsewhere in the Bible for a baby. For example, when Moses was born. Moses, a mere baby. So what Jeremiah is saying is that he felt as helpless as a baby. Now, if Jeremiah entertained any hopes that that would get him off the hook, those were soon dashed. The Lord says, do not say, I'm only a child. But the Lord was aware of Jeremiah's timidity, so the Lord added, do not be afraid, I am with you. God had a purpose for Jeremiah from the beginning. Verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, declares the Lord. And God was going to fulfill the purpose he had in mind for Jeremiah. God has a purpose for each one of us. And we can trust that God will fulfill this purpose. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. God said to Abraham, I am with you. God said to Jacob, later renamed Israel, I am with you. God said to Moses, and later Joshua, I am with you. But this idea of fellowship with God reaches its zenith in Jeremiah. In many ways, Jeremiah was a tragic figure. His was an emotional personality that knew the depths of despair. He had conflicts both within and without. Within himself, he fought against fear, against doubt, and deep depression. From without, he found himself in conflict with his peers and both the religious and civil authorities. It was these conflicts that drove him to find solace in God. The Old Testament scholar, J.G.S.S. Thompson, and yes, he goes by four initials before saying his last name. The Old Testament scholar, Thompson, said, thus, the Old Testament ideal of communion with God comes to its finest expression in Jeremiah. And it was because of this. It was because of this personal relationship with God. It was because of his fellowship with God that Jeremiah was eventually able to withstand the erosive effects of timidity, anguish, helplessness, hostility, loneliness, despair, misunderstanding, and failure. If you've ever experienced any of these, then Jeremiah is the prophet for you. The conversation between God and Jeremiah bears a remarkable likeness to the conversation between God and Moses. Moses offered God an excuse. Jeremiah offered God an excuse. God did not buy Moses' excuse. Jeremiah fared no better. In point of fact, such a conversation between God and one of God's people takes place all the time. You may have had such a conversation with God. And your reply may have been, oh, I can't do that. And you offered up an excuse. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm this. I'm that. But God says, don't say that. I am with you. The late Norman Vincent Peale said, affirm always by the grace of God, you are more than equal to any fearsome situation. Keep uppermost the powerful thought and fact, I am not alone. God is my friend, my support. He is always with me. Fear says, I don't know what will happen. God says, I will deliver you. The second image is that of an almond tree. Where Jeremiah lived, this was the first tree to blossom in the spring. And so it became a kind of metaphor for the future. And in Hebrew, there's a play on words in this verse because the terms for almond tree and the terms for watching are nearly identical when you pronounce them. When God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah became concerned about the future, especially his future. To express it in modern, almost stereotypical words, we could say Jeremiah was a good Jewish boy. He came from a good Jewish family. He had a great future ahead of him until this prophet business came along. He could have been a doctor. Well, actually, he was training to be a priest like his father. But God had other plans. He was not to marry. He was not to have children. He would lose most of his friends. In the end, there was maybe two. Worst of all, God appointed him to preach repentance to a people seemingly incapable of contrition. It's like being sent out on a quest that's doomed to fail before you begin. Now, what kind of life is that? Jeremiah was not only concerned about his personal future, but the future of his own people. He was keenly aware that events could change quickly, dramatically, and for the worse. In that sense, nothing has changed in the last 2,600 years. But too often, our fear of what may happen causes more trouble than the thing we originally feared. Some years ago, the Associated Press ran a story about a kidnapping case that was triggered by a Massachusetts store employee finding a help note in the bathroom. It said, "Help, kidnapped, call Highway Patrol," and then it listed two phone numbers. The FBI determined these were Oklahoma phone numbers, and they were traced to an elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Rupp, and they were supposedly on vacation. So they sent out an APB. There was a massive search initiated. Their pictures were on TV and in newspapers. The two daughters were terribly anxious to hear news about their parents. Well, one day the office manager of the place where Mr. Rupp worked got a phone call. The voice said, "We have a lovely view of the ocean." It was Mr. Rupp. And immediately the office manager said, "Well, where are you?" And Mr. Rupp said, "Well, we're at Martha's Vineyard. Where did you think we would be?" And then the manager went on to say, you don't know what's happening, do you?" And they didn't. They had no idea that the whole country was looking for them, that they were believed to have been kidnapped. They were just enjoying their vacation at Martha's Vineyard. And they were so embarrassed. Can you imagine? They were so embarrassed. All this fuss, all this turmoil, because people thought they had been kidnapped. Turns out there's a little bit more to the story. Mrs. Rupp is a fearful person. She dreads going to new and strange places. So to prepare for their trip to Martha's Vineyard, she wrote out a help note ahead of time, just in case her worst fears came true. And wouldn't you know it, it fell out of her pocket when she was in the store bathroom. True story. Too often our fear of what may happen causes more harm than the original thing we feared. Someone close to me, and I won't mention any names, dear, often reminds me that 98% of the things we worry about never happen. Well, Jeremiah was afraid of the future, so God showed him an almond tree, and in particular, the branch of an almond tree. This was a gesture intended to convey a message to Jeremiah. And in fact, God was saying, let me worry about the future. You don't have to worry about the future. Whatever I say will come to pass, and in time, I will deliver you. Centuries later, Jesus would say to his followers, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Fear says, what will the neighbors think? God says, today I give you strength. The third image is that of a boiling pot, a symbol of judgment. God was going to judge his people because they had worshipped other gods and committed heinous acts, especially during the reign of King Manasseh. Now, Jeremiah pictures this boiling pot tilting from the north. The judgment would come from the north. But there was no threat to Judah at this time from the north. So Jeremiah's prophecy was considered suspect, and he left himself open to ridicule. Now, Babylon was a threat. Babylon was this rising power in the region, but Babylon was to the east. However, we know from history that the Babylonian army did not go directly from the east to attack Judah. We know that instead they went up, they went over, and then came down from the north, just as Jeremiah had predicted. Jeremiah was afraid of those in authority. When Nikita Khrushchev was the premier of the former Soviet Union, he held a public meeting at which he denounced the atrocities of Joseph Stalin. A heckler in the crowd shouted, "You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you say something when you had the chance?" "Who said that?" roared Khrushchev. The room went silent. No one dared move. After several agonizing moments, Khrushchev quietly said, "Now you know why I didn't say anything." Jeremiah was afraid of his own people. In theory, they were on the same side. They were supposed to be God's people, God's servants. But in reality, many turned against Jeremiah because they had turned from God. Those whom he loved hated him. A loyal patriot, they branded him a traitor. Some years ago, the American public learned of a species of bird called the spotted owl. When environmental groups in the West charged that this owl was threatened by certain logging practices. Do you remember this? But according to a relatively recent article in Newsweek, the spotted owl has a far more menacing enemy than loggers. And this other enemy threatens the very existence of the spotted owl. This threat is the barred owl. The barred owl used to be only east of the Mississippi, but it has expanded westward. It is more aggressive and more adaptive than the spotted owl. And so the barred owl is a threat to the very existence of the spotted owl. The spotted owl's greatest threat is from one of its fellow owls. Now, as I read the article, I thought about how this seems to apply to the church. So often the greatest threat to the church is not what's on the outside. The greatest threat comes from within, from people who profess to believe in God but reject God's purposes. Jeremiah was painfully aware of this as his own people turned against him. But God showed him this boiling pot to remind him that God was aware of the injustices. God was going to judge the people, but he was not going to judge Jeremiah. He was going to strengthen Jeremiah, make him like a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. Now, these metaphors are not intended to say that Jeremiah would not experience any suffering. That's not the point. He would experience suffering, but what God's telling him is it's not a punishment. It's not going to last. In the end, it did not matter what people thought of Jeremiah, but what God thought of Jeremiah. Just as it does not matter what people think of you, but what God thinks of you. Ultimately, God would see to it that Jeremiah was vindicated. Years later, Jesus would express a similar encouragement when he said to his followers, "I have told you these things that in you you may have peace. In this world you'll have great trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Fear says, "I can't do this." God says, "I am with you." Fear says, "I don't know what will happen." God says, "I will deliver you." Fear says, "What will the neighbors think?" God says, "Today, I give you strength.